Next on the list, Timmy J. Montour.
This is a live broadcast of Candidates Night. Hello, at the Knights
everybody.
Of Columbus on
finally
KLM
got up
7.
Here. First of all, my name's Timmy J. Montour, not K. Montour. And my mother is Ida Deer and my father's Leonard Montour. I got to be honest right now, I'm a little uncomfortable being up here because I'm not used to promoting myself. What I do for the love for the community and everybody in it. So it's new for me. And with that, for the last 16 years, I learned who we are as a people by learning the traditional way through people passed down, not from Concordia or anything else. So this is why since then, I've been doing my best to fight for the rights, our collective rights, and everything who we are. And that's why I'm here. I started the slogan, Time for Change, 6 years ago, End of Sight. And at the time, I was thinking that Time for Change just meant council, because everybody seems to be against council. But over in the last few years, I learned that everybody needs to change, and so do I. That's why I'm here. Because I was more a traditional-minded person as I learned who I was. I was raised Christian, but I learned and I accepted, and it's a beautiful way of life. So the biggest hurdle I had for everything, I done the best I could. I'm not used to, like I said, promoting myself. I done the best I could to fight for our rights in every way. And I try to get people to participate. Like, we got thousands of people in town here, and I only see a few hundred. People don't vote. People don't stand up. And they tell me, what's the use to me? Why do you do it? Why do you fight for your rights? Why do you protest? Because it's your duty as a Mohawk. That's what you're supposed to do. It's your responsibility to take look out for the collective and our inherent rights. And that's what I want to do. So even me being up here changed my way of thinking, because the traditional-minded people say, I'll be outside the circle or whatever. But I don't believe that, and because you can never change your identity. So you're always going to be who you are, no matter what stance you have. And one of the things I want to help is bridge the gap between each other. We talk about issues of this, that, weed, whatever. That's not important. The big issue is the divisions and the mistrust and even hate. You know, I've only been I got nominated 3 weeks ago, and I've been accused of so many things. So I understand what they go through. And I'm not even on council yet. Whatever I do, they say, you're doing it for this reason. I got a new car. A friend helped me out. They said, did somebody buy you that car? So this is the biggest problem we have. And people have to... I talk with everybody. I don't belong to one group. I belong to the Mohawk Nation, and we're all the same people. So I talk to everybody. When there's an issue, I don't just speak to one group. I ask everybody their opinion. And I'm proud to say I'm welcome to talk to anybody. And if you do... put me in there, I'll be the same way. And I'll fight for your rights as I'm supposed to as a Mohawk man. And that's all I'm here for. And July 7th, give me that chance, because I don't believe I can make a difference. I know I can. So I hope to see you all come vote, and everybody else who doesn't vote. All right? Thank you very much, and thank you for coming out.
Next on the list is Landon Mulloch.
And here I thought it was going to be last. It's nice to see so many familiar faces, but for those of you who don't know me, my name is Landon Joseph Degarunyage Mulloch. My parents are Madeline Montour and Alan Dixon, grandparents, Agnes Phillips Montour, and Louis T. Montour, Vanita Dixon, and George Dixon. I am married. I have two daughters. My wife, a very, very patient woman. She's put up with me for about 20-some-odd years. My daughters, Cassidy and Kennedy Malush. Cassidy just graduated from our language program just a couple of weeks ago. She also graduated from Concordia. She has a BA. Kennedy is currently about to start her second year in Dawson. Sorry. Okay, I didn't realize you couldn't hear me. So Kennedy's about to start her second year at Dawson, which is I'm very, very proud of both of them. I believe highly in our education, educating our youth. The youth are the future. Whether they take over our council jobs or they go off on their own somewhere, they are the future. They need to get educated. I have three sisters, two brothers. I have a stepsister. My stepfather is Roddy Malush. Let's see, my education and my experiences. I graduated Howard S. Billings, after which I joined the Marine Corps. Served 4 years in the Marine Corps. When I got out, I came home and got a job with the Peacekeepers. I was there for 20 years working with some of the best guys I can talk about. I can talk about them all day, but we're talking about me right now. So, what am I here for? I want to bring to this table some of my experiences, some of my knowledge. I'm an open-minded person. I'm a very opinionated person. I have strong opinions, but I only form my opinions once I learn what the subject is. I won't prejudge situations. We do have a lot of situations in this community right now that need to be dealt with, and I believe with my help and the help of the rest of the counselors at the table, we can get the job done. This wasn't exactly my speech, and I didn't even look at my notes yet. I missed so many points that I wanted to make, but with that being said, I hope you vote for me, and if you do, I will work my hardest to accomplish everything that we need to get done. Thank you.
Next on the list is Mike DeLille Jr.
You're listening to the live broadcast of Candidates Night at the Knights of Columbus on KML37.
At last. First, I'd like to acknowledge our elder who gave us the words to follow tonight. Thank you, my friend, Yaon Goa. I'd also like to acknowledge my family, some of which who are here, who have put up with me and supported me over the last, not only 3 years, but probably more predominantly over the last three, because it's been an adventure, I'll say. My friends who have supported me over the past 3 years, again, through this adventure in private sector, away from politics, dealing with every other issue in life as well. Yaon Goa, thank you very much. You know who you are in everything that you've done for me. Someone spoke a minute ago about losing an election. I know what that's like, obviously, 3 years ago. Different feelings, though, from the person who spoke earlier. For those who know me, for those who are close to me, my friends and family, people who were at my home that fateful night 3 years ago, about an hour in of the less than celebration, I'll call it, I had to say something to the people in attendance, and you can ask them if you wish. I said, I almost feel guilty. It's like an immense weight lifted off your shoulders, because as people have said, the job's not easy. Probably the number one question people have asked me if I'm running again over the past 2.5-3 years, I mean, I've answered everything from maybe, no, yes, running away, and everything in between, is why aren't you running for Grand Chief again? Several fold. I think the predominant reason is I want to accomplish something. And it's not to say that Grand Chief isn't hard work. It's not to say that it's not focused. For me, it's just not focused enough. I spent my first three terms, 6 years as a council member from 98 to 2004 as just that, a portfolio chief, a council member, sitting with various obvious opportunities and goals to achieve, some which I did. I think with the experience now, having been Grand Chief for 11 years up until 2015, those six that I just spoke of, the last 3 years in private sector, I believe if I focus on two or three key issues in the community, along with the support of community, direction from community, and support of the table at administration, we could achieve a lot. I don't need to lead the parade. Somebody said that before. I just need to be part of it. It's something that's chewed on me for 3 years. My wife and I spoke about it in earnest probably for the last year over some other issues, but she supported me and said I wouldn't be here without her and my family saying, yes, you should do this again. But again, there's so many problems, I'll say it that way, in this community that I'd like to focus on a few. I'm still involved in the community. I've missed three, four, maybe community meetings over the last 3 years. I'm on the Caisse Populaire board. I'm the chair, just recently reappointed. Now I'll go out to the board after last month's election as community services chairperson. And I believe that's the number one issue in this community. We need to focus on the social issues that ail us, and we need to be able to heal. It's a huge process. It's going to take generations, as people say, multi-generational, and I believe that. People talked about collective impact. We were the impetus of that years ago. I've attended the last several steering committee meetings as well, and I believe it needs to be pushed harder. It needs to involve more community members. It needs to have direct input and involvement from you, the people. Also, seniority. I know Phil mentioned that a few minutes ago. I'm the only negotiator I'd ever had for 10 years. It took a large part of my life. And I believe as Grand Chief, you can do a lot, but I believe as a portfolio chief, with the resources that we have at our disposal, you can achieve a lot more if you focus on only a couple of issues. And those would be predominantly my two main focuses. People talked about Justice Act. I'm very interested in that as well, and again, help to establish some of that and the road moving forward. It's a slow road. So again, looking to have those types of achievements is something that I'm looking forward to if reelected again. My wife used to ask me often, why don't my sons cut the grass? Because this job requires some sense of achievement on a personal level. I'm looking to do that. I want to bring my work ethic and 17 years of experience at the council table back to the community. So I hope to see you on July 7th. Nyangua.
Next on the list is Tanya Williams.
I've been sitting here for 2 hours hoping I would be next, and finally that dream has come true. Good evening, everyone. My name is Tanya Williams. My mother is Valerie Jacobs, and my father is the late Wendell Williams Sr., who I dedicate tonight's speech to because he survived residential school, and he wore an orange shirt every year to celebrate his life, and I feel like that deserves acknowledgement. So, Dad, wherever you are, this is for you. I have a son. His name is Joshua Skye. He's 16 years old. He just graduated from high school, Lower Canada College, last week. And I am a descendant of Eunice Williams, which means that I'm ninth cousin to Stephen Seagal. My mom said not to say that, but take it as you will. I have worked in the area of First Nations governance for 18 years. I've held a position at the National Center for First Nations Governance, and I have worked in our community for 10 years, specifically on the justice file, negotiating with Canada and Quebec on the implementation and design of a justice system that would hear federal, provincial, and Ganawage law and have that enforced. I also negotiated our child care agreement, which was a subsidized program that we did. At the time, it was $5 a day. And that was no easy feat. Begging Quebec to let us into a provincial program because we're a federal reserve was a difficult thing. But we've done it, and we maintain that. I hold a diploma in criminology and an associate's art degree and a specialized diploma in social science from the University of BC. I also am in year four at Concordia University in international relations and political science. I have a 4.0 GPA as of right now, and sometimes you just have to say it when you work really hard. I currently work for public safety as appointed commission member, and I do policy in policing, and I am the community's parole supervisor, one of the first in Canada that we have been able to work on and create a program for corrections. And I have to say, in 18 years, it is the most rewarding job I've ever held in my life. To see people from prison to being reintegrated into our community is just outstanding. So I'm very proud of that. So why am I running? I'm running because of these alarming statistics. 11% of our population is unemployed, and that is rising. Out of a population of about 7,000, that is a lot, because Montreal's is at 6.9 with a population of 1.7. We have an epidemic. We have 30% of our population that has not graduated from high school. It's a dropout rate. We have 16% of our community and growing on social assistance. And unfortunately, it goes on and on and on. But what I want to communicate to you tonight is that governance plays a 100% hands-down relationship to those figures, because we have the power to change them. If we cannot enforce our laws to create an economy that investors will be interested in, we cannot do anything for our community. If we cannot regulate our industries or generate revenue or create employment standards with health and safety standards, we cannot enforce a Child Support Payment Act or a Landlord and Tenant Act, and we cannot offer our industries access to the international market without the enforcement of our laws. It is so important that we be able to enforce our laws in our community. Domestically, Canada and Quebec need to know that we're governing democratically. The United Nations that advocates for Aboriginal rights needs to know that we are governing democratically. We need to know that we are governing democratically, and that means legislating our rights and putting limits on what the elected officials can and cannot do. We need to create a different relationship between the elected officials and the community. And that comes from mandated consultation. Consultation is a fundamental tool to any democratic state. And if you have people in these positions that don't understand the relationship between democracy and consultation, you need to give that a second thought. In 1966, we declared that we would create a policing agreement. In 1995, we signed a tripartite agreement with Canada and Quebec. In 1940, the first Mohawk Justice of the Peace replaced the Indian Act agent, which set off a series of changes in our history, which came to the Judicial Act, the 1999 Justice Agreement, and it will come to the enforcement of our laws. Change in history only occurred because of a change in mindset. And I encourage you to change how you think and how you vote in order to change our future. Thank you.
Guess who? Curtis Jacobs. I must add that you might be last on the list, but certainly not in character.
I just want to start off by saying, be careful what you wish for. I did not want to go first, and I also didn't want to go last. So yes, my name is Curtis Jacobs. I don't know if you all know me. I've been out of the community for about 11 years. I came back a few years ago. During that time, I worked for the government, actually, working for Corrections Canada with our people. Our people right across from Canada. It was a great experience. I got to address some of the policies that were in place and made sure that they did not infringe upon our rights. I work at a medium institution, medium security. Going in there every day is different. You never know what you're going to meet. So that's what I think this position will be. And I don't want it to be repetitive. I want new challenges. I'm ready for it. This is something I've been pretty much thinking about for the last 12 to 15 years. It's not a decision I took lightly to run. I personally physically don't run, but... So, what I want to say basically is I think I have experience to help Ganawage move forward, move in the right direction with the backing of the community, because that's where the drive should come from. It's not about me. In my previous positions, it was never about me. So, in my position in corrections, I was a liaison officer. So I had to be the go-between between the offenders, the Ngwehungwe offenders, and the system. Make sure they understand everything that's in their correctional plan. So with having people from up north to out west, people who don't speak French, sometimes don't even speak English, you know, we'd have to bring translators in and make sure they understand. You know, so I had to go look for resources. So all that in order to serve the incarcerated community. You know, I was their advocate. If there was anything wrong, well, I made sure people knew. And I took that seriously. So that was the liaison part. Then I became a program facilitator in substance abuse prevention program, as well as violence prevention. Again, working for the community, the offender population. Again, have to advocate on their behalf. You know, I want to see that change. So, during my time there, I'm still there, but I've heard a lot of the staff say, my God, what have you done with this person? He's changed so much. I said, why are you coming to me? Go see that offender and let him know you see that change. I said, it's not about me. And this position here, should I get elected, is not about me. It's about the community. And I hope you get to know me a little bit more. I did not want to be the first one on the radio, but it so happened that it was on the first day. But it seemed like I was rambling, like probably tonight, but that's okay. I have faith in the council table. I think some changes need to be made. And we need to look at where we're going and what exactly we want as a community. You know, somebody spoke about divisions before. I think, you know, there's the whole us against them mentality, and it creates too much division. And there are issues that do create division. But we need to be able to sit down with each other, no matter where we come from, and be able to talk without a fear of being attacked. People are passionate about issues as much as I am, but we can't attack each other. We can't fight each other. Otherwise, we have nothing left to fight who we should be fighting. You know, and pushing our agenda and who we are. That's what I want to achieve, you know. Bring the community back together. Because we've seen it before. We're able to do that. And some people just, well, thank you. So I work with dignity and integrity, and that's not a compromise. Thank you.
At this point right now, we'd like to remind people that at the question and answer period will be taking place. K1037 will not be allowed to broadcast this part of the program. We thank everyone for listening to tonight's broadcast here at the Knights of Columbus. For a full recap of tonight's proceedings, please listen tomorrow morning to Paul Grafe on Sudgetsco at 6 a.m. here on K1037. From the Knights of Columbus, from this year's Candidates Night, we thank you so much for tuning in to K1037. Please stay tuned to Uptown Classics with Timothy Armstrong on Gotham Nawagi's K1037. I'm Lance DeLille, now a Goa.